The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. Luke.
Glory to you, Lord.
Jesus said to the crowds, "When you see a cloud rising in the west, you say immediately that it's going to rain, and so it does. And when you notice that the wind is blowing from the south, you say that it's going to be hot, and so it is. You hypocrites, you know how to interpret the appearance of the earth and the sky. Why do you not know how to interpret the present time? Why do you not judge for yourselves what is right? If you are to go with your opponent before a magistrate, make an effort to settle the matter on the way. Otherwise, your opponent will turn you over to the judge, and the judge hand you over to the constable, and the constable throw you into prison. I say to you, you will not be released until you have paid the last penny." This is the Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
By the words of the Holy Gospel, may our sins be blotted away. Please be seated. This evening, we begin our weekend's retreat. A retreat is a time when we draw apart, put aside our ordinary duties and works and responsibilities, to go apart by ourselves or with a group of like-minded people, in order to listen to the Lord's voice, in order to listen to the Lord speaking to us through the voice of the Scriptures, through the teachings of the Church, and in the depths of our own soul. When we go on retreat, we may have many good intentions and bring with us all kinds of important spiritual reading that we've been wanting to do for some time. But we have to be prepared when we go on retreat to have the Holy Spirit turn all our plans upside down. We have to be prepared for His grace to reveal things to us that we had not expected and to move us along paths where we would not have walked on our own. For the Holy Spirit is always the retreat master. The priest-preacher must pray mightily not to get in the way of the Holy Spirit and His grace. Now, the title of the retreat for this weekend speaks of holiness of heart and the powers of our soul. We are accustomed to saying, if anyone asked, that we are body and soul. Well, that's rather inadequate. We are souls. Bodies are what we are, souls are who we are. We are spiritual persons created by God. And our soul has three faculties, three powers: the memory, the mind, and the will. And if we are going to become saints, which is Christ's invitation and His command, if we are going to cross the threshold into heaven and look upon the face of God unveiled, then holiness must penetrate and purify these three faculties. To grow in the spiritual life means that our memory, our will, and our intellect are flooded with the love of God. And our work here on earth, the spiritual labor, spiritual battle in which we engage, does indeed involve the world, the flesh, and the devil. But it is first, last, and always the overcoming of ourselves. So over this weekend, we want to ask the Lord to shine the light of His radiant love into our memory, our mind, and our will. Now, the memory is the sum total of all our human experiences, our story, our identity. Our mind is the gift of reason by which we think and understand and grow in knowledge. And our will is the power, the faculty by which we choose freely, by which we love, and by which we reject that which we do not want, that which causes us aversion. Each of these three powers of the soul have to undergo their own encounter with Christ. If we are always thinking of the wrongs that others have done to us, the times that we were left out, chosen last, slighted in any way, then Christ is not present in our memory. We are not Christ-like in our memories or in our identity. If with our minds we use the gift of reason that God has given to us in order to make a great deal of money, be at the top of our professional career, but we do not think as Christ would have us think, judge as he would have us judge, see what he would have us see, then his light is not present in our mind, and we walk in darkness. If with our will we love 1,000 things and 1,000 persons, but prefer, in the practical order, to love things and use persons, then our will has not yet encountered the living Christ. Christ, whose whole mission was to fulfill and accomplish his Father's will for us and for our salvation. So during this retreat, we want to ask that the grace of Christ might penetrate our memory, our mind, our will, so that our remembering, our thinking, and our loving might be rich in the grace of Christ. We want to lay down burdens and confusions and sorrows. We want to lay at the altar, at the feet of Christ, the hurts and the wounds that we bear. We want to release the weight that we carry, all of those things that are clanging behind us like Marley's ghost, clumbersome with chains. We want to cut away all of those things. We want to look upon our lives as Christ looks upon our life. And we want to direct ourselves according to his providence. We want to deepen our understanding of the faith, because ours is not a blind faith. Our faith seeks understanding. And when we have embraced the gift of faith, we are all the more eager to understand, to deepen our encounter with the living God and with the Word of Christ in Scripture and through his teaching church. We want to use the faculty of reason that God has given to us in order that we might look at our world and see it with new eyes. We want to look beyond the boundaries, the limitations of ordinary human judgment. We want to see all things as God sees them, to look at all the plans and purposes and dreams that are ours in relationship to eternal life. We want to have the courage to ask ourselves, with regards to those things that we think are most important and most dear, what does it all matter in relationship to eternity? And we ask the Lord, finally, to purify our wills so that we may love as he has loved, so that we may pardon as he has pardoned. As we realize with our memory how good God has been to us. We want to turn that goodness, which we have received so richly, into goodness directed towards others. Perhaps the most important word in the Our Father is the word as. Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. When we come to Mass, we should make a little prayer at the beginning of the Mass before the priest says anything. Lord, do not let me perjure myself in this Mass. When I say, I believe, I confess, may my words be truth. When I say, forgive me my sins in the same way that I forgive others, well, perhaps, Lord, you shouldn't take me at my word quite yet. Because I know that I do not forgive generously, I do not forgive easily, I do not forgive quickly, and I never forget. And yet I expect that you will forgive me, O Lord, generously, quickly, completely, and that you will forget my sins and put them as far as east is from west. But if you would have me forgiven this way, Lord, give me the courage to desire it. Give me your heart that I may love as you have loved. The prayers of the Mass that I'm celebrating tonight are taken from one of the Masses in honor of the Sacred Heart of Jesus, that very Catholic devotion. Now, devotion to the Sacred Heart is not simply one of the hallmarks of Catholic faith. Pope Pius XII, a wonderful theologian, said that devotion to the Sacred Heart is an integral part of Catholic faith. But devotion to the Sacred Heart was not born in the mind and heart of Margaret Mary Alacoque, the French nun who in the 17th century had visions of the heart of Jesus that resulted in the devotion of the First Fridays or in the images of the Sacred Heart that you're all familiar with. Devotion to the heart of Christ begins on Calvary, when the heart of Jesus is pierced. When Christ's side is opened and blood and water pour forth, St. John, who stood at the foot of the cross, saw in this sign the birth of the church. And it is not an accident that the words that immediately preceded, that expressed the death of Jesus, are phrased, "And he breathed forth his spirit." That's not simply the description of Christ's last breath. It is the beginning of the sending forth of the Holy Spirit upon the church. And that sending is to be found on Calvary, in the upper room on Easter Sunday, when Jesus breathes on his disciples and says, "Receive the Holy Spirit. Whose sins you shall forgive, they are forgiven. Whose sins you shall hold bound, they are held bound." And finally, of course, the great outpouring of the Spirit is at Pentecost on the 50th day. But in the piercing of Christ's side, St. John, the eyewitness, sees in this last gift of Christ the beginning of the church as the dispenser of Christ's gifts, the waters of baptism, the blood of the Eucharist, pour forth from the open heart of Christ. And in that heart, we find refuge. Through that heart, we make our way to the Father's house. By that heart, we learn what it is to love, what it is to be loved, and what it is to love others. For Jesus, in coming among us as man, does not only reveal the Father to us, he reveals us to ourselves. He reveals man, men and women, to themselves. And so this weekend is a time when the Lord wishes you to understand who you are his beloved child, his disciple, his servant, and his friend. The Lord calls you to be children of his heavenly Father, his brothers and sisters. And it is when we shut out for a little while the noises and voices of the world that we realize just what this call involves. In today's gospel, our Lord reveals the conflict and the confusion within our hearts. You know how to interpret the signs of the time when it comes to predicting the weather. Why do you not know how to interpret the signs of the time when it comes to spiritual realities? Paul sees that same conflict in himself. I do not do the good that I want to do. I do the evil that I don't want to do. Lord Jesus, we must pray. I know myself in these words. Give me the grace to desire the very best and highest good and to practice it. Give me the courage to love as you have loved and the light to make the next good step in faithful discipleship. Lord, I come before you. Show me your face and reveal to me my true self. Reveal your love so that I may be made worthy of your love. Reveal your grace so that I may trust in your mercy. Reveal your power so that in my weakness, in my infirmity, I may fulfill your will. Our retreat is a time then when in silence we listen and in love we respond. So over the next 48 hours or so, ask the Lord to be your retreat master. Invite him deliberately into your heart, into your soul, and pray for one another. Ask the Lord to grant to each of you here tonight the grace in which you stand most in need, to reveal to you the lessons that he wants you to learn, to renew within you your commitment to goodness and grace, and to strengthen you so that weaknesses and discouragement and the memories of past sins may not weigh you down, but call you into ever greater confidence in his goodness and love. Our retreat days here are not entirely silent, and that's all right. This is an opportunity for you to speak with the sisters at different times, to listen to the testimonies of their lives, to draw also from the support and strength that comes from finding yourself not alone, but with other men and women who are making the same journey, are weighed down by the same crosses, and move forward in the same hope. It is a time for you to give thanks to God that he has called you into the mystery of his church's life. And it is a time for you to ask of him deeper understanding and wisdom, the guidance and the prayers of the church, and the guidance and the prayers of the saints. Now, in addition to our Lord, the great retreat master, the teacher, and the Holy Spirit, who speaks individually to your hearts, there is another whom I always recall on the first day of a retreat, and that is your guardian angel. Each of you has an angel of God who watches over you, and whose sole mission while you are on earth is to bring you to everlasting life, to bring you to heaven, to guide you in the ways of truth and goodness and love. The angels are the first created. They are the reflections of God's infinite perfections. And God has chosen these great and wondrous beings to be your servants. The angel will not pick up your mail. He will not prevent you from making mistakes that you will to make. And they're generally not very good at finding a parking space. But the angels of God call us to prayer. They call us to conversion. And they call us to wonder, to amazement, to delight, particularly when we come to Holy Mass. For the angels marvel that Christ comes to us in his Eucharistic flesh to sanctify us and to transform us completely into himself. The angels do not receive the Eucharist because they are not bodily persons. They do not have flesh and blood, and so they do not receive the flesh and blood of Christ. But you do, and I do. And so if the angels could be jealous, they would be jealous of us when we receive communion. But we instead invite the angels to participate in this Mass and to join us in praising God in this wondrous gift. We ask them to fulfill their vocation. We acknowledge before the Lord our desire that his providence be fulfilled in us and for us. When we say, "Thy will be done," in the Our Father, we're not simply meaning, "May I do your will," but may I accept your will. May I accept fully and with awareness and with delight and with trust the ways by which you sanctify the world, the ways in which you sanctify me. O Lord, I accept the life you have given me. I accept the cross that I am meant to bear, and I ask only for your love. Give me yourself, O Lord, and there is nothing else I can ask for. For in you are all things. On this first night, then, of our retreat, let us ask the Lord truly to bring us to that quiet place where we may rest in his presence, where he may speak to us of his heavenly Father and draw us into deep communion with him, not simply sacramental communion, which is the height, the apex of our communion with Christ, but a communion of life, a communion of memory, a communion of love, so that indeed Christ's soul may sanctify our own, and the powers of Christ's soul, which he used in love for his heavenly Father, may transform the powers of our souls so that we too may be the loyal children, the faithful ones of that same heavenly Father who reveals his mercy to us in the face of Jesus, proclaimed and praised by the Church. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, Amen.